This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to Market Talk, LTIM's podcast, where we sum up recent events in financial markets, outline our current investment thinking, and try and see what might be lying just over the horizon. If you're expecting Francis Watson today, do not adjust your iPods. My name is Andrew Lowry. I'm one of Francis's colleagues on the content team here at LGIM, and I'll be stepping in this week. I'm joined by Ben Bennett, our investment strategist for APAC, who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are things?
Very well, thank you. How are you, Andrew?
I'm all right. A little touch of spring in the air in London today. So it's we're all feeling quite cheery as a result. We should kick off with the US. Spring may be in the air in London, but we spent much of the winter hearing about prospects for a soft landing in the US, ebbing and flowing and coming and going. There's been some big data drops recently. How are things looking this week?
Yeah, it's been loads of interesting data recently. This week was, yeah, the most important data of any given month is inflation, and we got it a couple of days ago. So that came in. It was pretty much in line with expectations, a little bit stronger. And what's been interesting is the previous week, there were some revisions to recent inflation data over the last year or so, which made it look as though inflation was a little bit lower at the beginning of last year and a bit higher at the end of last year. And that combination, basically, it's not very good, is it? Because now we've still got core inflation up at 5.6%. It doesn't look any more as though the Fed's got it fully under control. And that goes hand in hand with some other data we've had recently, which shows that the consumer is very strong. We had payroll growth. So the number of jobs created in the US up at 500,000 last month, which is a huge number. And then retail sales for January were very strong, up 3% month on month. There could be some weird seasonality adjustments going on. It's tough to get December and January right, because obviously, you know, people spending for the holidays and then they stop spending in January, don't they? But assuming that's correct, it suggests that inflation's a bit high and the consumer's doing very well, thank you very much. Maybe the Fed hasn't quite got things under control yet. Maybe they're behind the curve. Maybe they have to hike a little bit more than we thought previously.
I'm old enough to remember when 2023 was supposed to be an apocalyptic year of dreadful results and nightmarish outcomes for all concerned. But as you say, the Fed has been underlining again and again its hawkish stance. We're still looking at an immediate future of rate hikes. And yet, as you say, the consumer, retail investors, everyone's got a little bit excited. Do you think people need to cool their jets, or do you think that this is proving the naysayers wrong?
Yeah, so I do think that investors, equity and credit investors, have got a little bit too enthusiastic about this year. I think, well, markets, if you just look at what's been going on in terms of returns, have had a pretty good start to the year. The S&P 500 is up 8% as of when we're recording. So that's after the close of the 15th of February. Investment-grade credit spreads in the US, 12 basis points tighter. High-yield credit spreads, 60 basis points tighter. So every market's done pretty well. I think investors are focusing on the strength of the economy, the consumer strength, and hoping that, you know, that demonstrates that we might avoid a recession in the US. But what I'm looking at is the Fed, as you said, is looking at that strength and thinking that they probably need to hike a little bit more. They're probably going to hike, I think, in March, in May, and I think they could even hike again in June. So we're looking at more interest rate hikes. That's presumably going to slow down the economy. We still think that a recession is more likely than not. If that happens, you know, the exuberance at the start of the year might look a little bit silly, might it, in the next few months. I suspect we're going to see a correction in equity and credit markets if we get that recession, which, as I say, that's our base case.
The ghost at the feast here is the fairly muted outputs from earnings season so far. I mean, can we draw any conclusions at this stage from this?
Yeah, we're pretty much all the way through the S&P 500 earnings season. And this is for Q4 last year. So that was, the economy was still doing fine in Q4, certainly not a recession in the US anyway. And yet we're seeing earnings coming in now on a year-on-year basis. So Q4 2022 versus Q4 2021, down a little bit, probably 2 or 3% down, which is a bit of a disappointment. We thought it was going to be flattish, but it does look as though it's going to be down. And this is before we've had a downturn. I think companies are struggling a little bit, having to pay people more money. You know, this is why the consumer is doing very well, because they're getting paid more. Consumers, the companies are struggling. Margins are falling. They're still making a decent amount of money, but it's stopped growing. But this, again, is the is just the thin edge of the wedge, really. We're going to be looking, if we get a recession, at earnings falling 20-25% if we get a recession through the rest of this year. So as of now, a little bit disappointed, but let's see. It really is going to depend if we get a recession or not.
Tech has outperformed recently so far this year. Does this kind of complicate the narrative of growth stocks' vulnerability to these rate hikes that we've been seeing and we're set to see? This comes in the context of some pretty big layoffs as companies have let go some of the payroll that they accumulated over the pandemic era. Where can we place that in the narrative?
Yeah, I think it's all part of the same story, to be honest. So obviously last year was terrible for every asset class and everyone was super bearish. And I think it's a bit sort of new year. Let's hope that we get some sort of recovery back to what we're used to. So, you know, hoping that the Fed will stop hiking, that maybe some of the things that have been very weak will rebound. So people have been buying the beaten up sectors, beaten up parts of the market. I think tech sort of fit that bill, didn't it? So the NASDAQ was very weak last year. The NASDAQ so far this year, to the same point that I said the S&P was up 8%. The NASDAQ is up 15% so far this year. So big rebound. But again, I think it's more sentiment reversal. I don't see any fundamental improvement really in the markets, and certainly not in the tech sector. So I just think it's sentiment getting back. We've got this period of time where we're not in a recession yet. There is a big risk of a recession, but we're not in a recession yet. So I think investors are just dipping their toe in the water and hoping that things get back to some normality. But I just think it's going to be temporary, and we're probably going to go back to selling off at some point, unfortunately, in the next few months.
Turning now to the Bank of Japan. It's been pretty big personnel change at the top. There's a new governor, the academic Kazuo Ueda. It's very early days yet, but do you think this could signal a meaningful policy shift?
To be honest, we normally wouldn't talk about the change of governor of the Bank of Japan because it's one central bank. It doesn't really matter. But of course, the reason why it's interesting is because the Bank of Japan is holding on as one of the final central banks that not only isn't hiking interest rates, actually the Bank of Japan is doing QE. It's buying government bonds in order to keep interest rates low. So it's an incredibly loose policy. So does a change in governor, so the new governor will come in place probably end of March, beginning of April. Does that shift mean we're going to have a shift in policy? I suspect he's going to be reluctant to go full change, 180 degrees shift straight away, because that would unnerve market. And Japanese interest rates and the yen is a bit of a coiled spring at the minute, and it could just be unleashed volatility if something big happens. I suspect it'll be a little bit more sensible and careful than that, but it probably does signal the beginning of the end. Look, we've got Japanese inflation data at the end of next week, and even in Japan we're starting to see inflation coming through. So you can't just keep monetary policy loose and hope that it doesn't create inflation. We know it creates inflation. And so at some point, they're going to have to turn around. And it probably will happen at some point in the next few months. Probably not in the first meeting or so. Well, hopefully not in the first meeting. Otherwise, we're going to have to do an emergency podcast and talk about it, I suspect.
Well, there's one thing we learned in the UK last year, is that abrupt policy shifts leading to short notice hikes in interest rates always go really well. And a very relaxing experience for all concerned.
Exactly. And it is really important for the global markets, because, you know, with Japanese government bonds, 10-year Japanese government bonds down at 0.5%, it's a bit of an anchor. If they were to start to go up a little bit, then I think that tends to move, I guess, investor flows. They can start to potentially Japanese money that's leaving Japan trying to find yield somewhere else will now stay in Japan. They can find yield in Japanese government bonds, so there'll be less perhaps demand for treasuries. Maybe treasury yields would then start to creep higher as well. So it is really important. It's a huge market, is the Japanese government bond market. It's something, not just volatility, not just for the currency, but I do think it could lead to higher yields globally if we were to see Japanese government bond yields go up as well.
So no pressure then.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, good luck.
If we now turn to China, the rally in credit and equities that we saw since the announcement of the relaxation of the zero COVID policy has kind of cooled off a bit since the Lunar New Year. Is the situation there a little bit analogous to the US, where we see sentiment and fundamentals in conflict with one another?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that, actually. What I mentioned before about sort of investors coming into the year and hoping that things change and sentiment improving, really, that feels as though that certainly happened in China. And it started really at the end of October, didn't it? It's not just this year. So huge rallies in Chinese markets has really bombed out sentiment, improved, and people started getting a little bit more hopeful. But even that seems to have changed a little bit, because there's only so much sentiment can get you. And I guess this is maybe what we're talking about for the S&P and, you know, the equity credit markets in Europe and in the US. What we've seen in China recently is quite a large correction downwards after a big rally, reflecting perhaps a little bit of disappointment that we haven't seen the fundamentals come through and match the improving sentiment. So, you know, Chinese New Year data, we spoke about it, but it was a little bit disappointing that there wasn't better property sales data. That's the crucial one. So the Hang Seng, which had been up 15% on the 27th of January, so 15% up for this year, up to the 27th of January, is now only up 5%. So it's given up sort of 10%. Still up, but it's given up quite a lot. I think we need to see the fundamentals improve. I'm a little bit more hopeful that in China you're going to see the fundamentals improve. I think fundamentals for everything we've just discussed in the US and Europe are looking on shakier ground. But in China, I suspect we're going to see the property market potentially given another boost. They just have to focus on the property market. It's so important. We're going to have to hope to see more sales, maybe some mortgage support and all that sort of stuff. If that was to happen, and I think it probably will, then we could see more upside in Chinese equity markets.
We've got the annual sessions of the National People's Congress next month. Are we going to have to wait till then for substantive policy news?
Yeah, probably, but it's not that far away. So it's the two sessions. So yeah, you're right. We've got the National People's Congress, which is the parliament in effect, and we've got also the Political Advisory Body, which is the other part of the two sessions. Their meetings starting, well, one starts on the 4th of March, one on the 5th of March. They'll be announcing all sorts of stuff then, including the target for growth, GDP growth this year, which won't necessarily hit that number. I mean, last year they targeted, I think it was 5.5% and didn't get anywhere close to that because of various reasons. But it will demonstrate what the politicians want the local politicians to do. So it's a signal, isn't it? That where we sort of aim, how much support we want to give. And maybe once we get that number out of the way, then local politicians can think about supporting infrastructure spending or the property sector, which is, as I'm going back to what I think is very important. So yeah, they probably are waiting for that, to be honest, but it's not too far away, is it?
That's very true. That'll about do it. I know Francis likes to wrap up with your statistic or number of the week that kind of leapt out at you over the course of the week. What have you got for us this week?
Yeah, and I was trying to think about credit conditions tightening. What I mentioned at the beginning, one of the reasons why I'm quite nervous. And so my number of the week is 4. And that's because when I look at the US high yield index, so this is an index of issuers that aren't investment grade, they're a little bit lower rated. They usually have quite a lot of debt, and it's very important what level they fund at. So that index back in January 2021 was yielding 4%. So as an average company, you could borrow money at 4%, pay back 4%. As of now, that index is yielding 8%. So it's gone up 4. That's the number of the week. I could have also said 2 for doubling. It's doubled, hasn't it? So the same company 2 years ago funding at 4 is now going to have to fund at 8. And that's just going to make it a little bit more difficult to find funding, to make money. And potentially, you could see some of these companies get into trouble if they were a little bit over their skis. And also, I think it's important to notice that, because if we do avoid a recession, get a soft landing, and at that point, presumably, inflation is still relatively high, we could be ending the year with yields still pretty high. And companies that have been sort of sitting there hoping that these yields go down so that they don't have to fund at very high levels and lock it in, we'll be running out of time and potentially have to fund at high levels, even under a soft landing. So at least you wouldn't get a recession, but they would be locking in higher yields. So at these sorts of, at this point in time, I think even a soft landing isn't particularly positive for markets. It's better than a recession, but it's not that positive because of these high yields. Yields mean everything in this market, I think.
As usual, it's all happening at once. Ben, thank you very much for your time, and I hope we'll speak again soon.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.